You're listening to Pod for Ham, a podcast from The Incomparable that's all about the musical Hamilton, taking it one track at a time through the original Broadway cast recording. Every episode features different groups of interesting people talking about a single track. Visit us on the web at pod4ham.com or follow us on Twitter at pod4ham.
Welcome back to Pod for Ham, an American musical podcast. I'm your host this week, David J. Lohr, and with me are Shannon Sutterth. Hello.
Hello.
And Deb Stanish.
Hello.
Hi there. And Jale Fazilian.
Hello.
Hello. And Allison Baker.
Hi.
Hi there. And we are talking about the Reynolds pamphlet.
Have you read this ish?
I have not read it yet. What's it about?
Damn.
Damn.
We need to have like a lot of effects on.
Right? Definitely.
We should all talk in disharmony.
This is easily the most, I feel like, modded song on the soundtrack. On the Broadway. I'm sorry. You're never supposed to call it the soundtrack.
I know.
We've all done it.
I got in big trouble for this.
Honestly, at this point, I do it just to irritate people.
And, you know, in some ways, you could argue that this one is a soundtrack because it is heavily modified. They added a lot in the studio, which is fine. That's great. I love it.
It specifically speaks to the form of music that they're paying tribute to.
Yes. Like
hip hop is rarely just raw spitting like into a mic. Like when it is, it can be really fun, but there's a tradition of using this modification or that like playing with the sounds.
So in the real world, the Reynolds pamphlet was a 95-page letter written by Alexander Hamilton.
Overachiever.
Jesus.
Yeah. Answering.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah.
It's so
Hamilton,
convoluted.
It was that
he
long.
Just oh. writes.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I'm just.
And he wrote the other 95 pages.
I tried to read it before recording this podcast.
Oh, dear.
That was just an effort in futility.
It was just too much secondhand embarrassment.
It was terrible. And I was just thought, I can't. I'm sorry, Alexander. This is a step too far.
It really is like the greatest. Like it lives in. I majored in political science, and I mean, we had a day where it was like, who knows what the Reynolds pamphlet is, and like two people raised their hands, and it's like it lives today as one of the greatest examples of why did you do this.
it is Jay Leno asking Hugh Grant, what were you thinking? Except Alexander is asking it to himself
and then answering,
this is a great idea, I'm just gonna keep talking.
he's answering allegations of corruption, but really he's admitting to a three-year affair with Maria Reynolds, whom we met a little while ago in Say No to This. And he didn't say no.
No!
Multiple times.
That always kills me.
I know. I still yell at the song. Like, yeah, just say no. You can do it.
That's the best part of that song, is everyone is screaming at him within the song, which I feel like this song carries that narrative forward of usually in a Broadway play. Like the company is just there to back up what's being done on stage. And in this one, the company is actively working against our main protagonist, being like, you're an idiot. Why are you doing this? Like it's, and in this song, they're heckling him. Like,
well, yeah. As they should.
The way from London. Damn.
Yeah.
Boo. Like, they're just, oh, it's amazing.
But this song is, it's set up so beautifully because it has to be exactly where it is, because it is the end of this journey that starts at the very beginning of the show. But in specifically, the callbacks to other songs, and specifically if you're looking at Know What We Know, there is that moment where at the very end of the song, when the three actors are singing and they're not in harmony, it's very discordant. And this whole song is discordant. And you just... Yeah. And it's the payoff of the arrogance that we see at the Eye of the Hurricane, where he's like, he knows his skill is in his pen. And that's how we saw it, the very first song of the whole cast album.
Very first original Broadway cast recording.
Yes. And this is like, this is the arrogance come to bloom. And this song, it's like, it's just this beautiful culmination of all of these elements in this really jarring, discordant thing. And then with Angelica calling back Dissatisfied, it's like, it is the perfect song. Like, this is one of my most favorite songs in the entire sound original Broadway cast recording.
And I would say between this and Hurricane, it's the first time I've ever wanted Hamilton to actually take Burr's advice to talk less and smile more. You know,
hush now. Like, stop.
Please shut up, Alexander. Please.
And you know what's so ironic about it is that, like, in the room where it happens, right before this, there's that moment where he goes, I guess I'm going to finally have to listen to you. And in the annotations for that song, in the Hamiltome, which if you haven't bought it yet, get it. It's beautifully made and a hoot to read. There's this note, and it's my favorite note in the entire thing, where the idea is that he says, I'm finally going to have to listen to you talk less, smile more. And Burr has to sit there thinking, but why do I, who act like me all the time, not get to be in the room? Mm-hmm. Hamilton's finally embracing his inner politician, and yet this time he can't. Like, for some reason, when it comes to his personal life, he's got to be honest to a devastating fault, because he's only thinking of himself in this. Like, the people that truly pay the price here are his wife and his children.
Mm-hmm. Because his focus is on the wrong thing. He is only focusing on his legacy, his public persona. And of course, ironically, not that many people in history at the time really thought that Hamilton was doing anything illegal or speculating, because they knew his reputation, and they were telling him, just let it blow over. Don't answer. Just leave it alone and it'll stop. But Hamilton was not going to take that slur on his professional integrity. But he'd be happy to blow his personal integrity just to make it clear.
It didn't matter back then. Didn't matter, I guess.
Yeah.
That's where, like, I think modern sex scandals are so weird to me. Like, I grew up during the Clinton years, and then it was like, but I also, I grew up in the state of Virginia, and they teach you about Thomas Jefferson. And they're like, so here's the time when Thomas Jefferson had a second family with a slave. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what I love about that is the same gentleman who wrote the pamphlet accusing Hamilton is the same gentleman who wrote the pamphlet later, you know, exposing Thomas Jefferson for his relationship with Sally Hemings. So this guy just liked to poke the bear.
And Jefferson never responded.
Exactly. Jefferson
never
smart.
Gave him anything to keep going.
That's because it's like he was like, you keep your damn mouth shut, and eventually people find something else to be fascinated by. That's how, honestly, like, it's so weird. That's how Washington worked then. That's how Washington works now. Like, it's crazy to me that.
And you get like scummy rag, like Breitbart coming in, you know,
you keep your nose down, and you don't, like, with certain things specifically, like, if it involves anything illegal, you're screwed. But, like, okay, so a few people are saying you may have done a bad thing wrong. Like, I think it speaks to, like, I think a greater defect in maybe Hamilton's character, like a weakness. He needed to be, I don't know, like, I think he suffered from, like, a compulsive need to be heard and echoed. Like, he, I think, needed his own hype man in his life. You know, like, in the play, Jefferson has Madison as his hype dude the whole time. And Hamilton doesn't have that. And especially once Washington retires, he doesn't have that backing him up. And then it seems like his ego becomes so fragile. You know, a stiff breeze could just knock him off the porch. To the degree where he implodes his entire personal life and thinks it won't have a professional implication.
And the thing is, I mean, it wasn't uncommon for men to have affairs, for men to have mistresses. I mean, he didn't talk about it in polite society, but it wasn't the scandal that it would be today, but he made it a scandal. You know what I mean? If he had just kept his damn mouth shut, you know, yeah. it would have blown over.
If he'd cut it to 3 pages, maybe, like 95.
Did we need the details?
Does anybody else, like, I 95, and I'm just hearing, here's an itemized list of 30 years of disagreements.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Alexander Hamilton half-asses nothing.
And I think it just sort of lends to the fact that, you know, this is so important to him that he's only seeing himself, that he's going to lay out and detail exactly why these accusations of speculation are wrong, but and because this is what was going on instead, and here's the details about all of these different times when my wife was away visiting her husband, her father, and that we would that, you know, Mariah Reynolds would come to my house, all of these things. You know, the focus even turns around when Angelica turns up. You know, Hamilton's first response is, thank God, someone who understands what I'm struggling here to do. And Angelica has to slap him upside the head. It's like, dude, you hurt my sister. No.
So have you, congratulations?
Oh, yes.
I mean.
For anyone who has got to see the last live digital Ham for Ham, the song Congratulations. Oh, I kind of wish that had made
so
it.
So good.
It's so good. And she just gives him the best verbal smackdown in that song. You know, I don't remember how many times she calls him stupid. At least 3 or 4.
Yep.
For blowing up his whole life over something no one believed.
You have invented a new kind of stupid, a damage you can never undo kind of stupid, an open all the pages of the zoo kind of stupid. Truly, you didn't think this through kind of stupid. Let's review. You took a rumor a few, maybe 2 people knew, and refuted it by sharing an affair of which no one has accused you. I begged you to take the break you refused to. So scared of what your enemies will do to you. You're the only enemy you ever seem to lose to. You know why Jefferson can do what he wants? He doesn't dignify schoolyard taunts with a response. So yeah, congratulations. You've redefined your legacy. Congratulations.
Yeah. I like congratulations better than the text they put in there, because and I don't know that whether this is something I read into it. Does anyone else, when Angelica sings her lines, hear a little bit of how very dare? Because she's like, I love my sister like I love my, like, she's basically like, how dare you do this thing? And yet for many songs, we've been hearing them sing back and forth about that, how they want to have a thing together. And then, like, take a break is basically the threesome invitation of the summer. So it's kind of like the ladies protesting too much a little bit to me. Like, it's not in a primary way. It's just like a subtextual read where it's like, no. I'm standing by her side now, even though I definitely wanted to hook up with you and you hooked up with somebody else.
I guess for me, it's not quite so bad, because this directly echoes Angelica's decision in the first act to step aside and introduce Hamilton and Eliza, because she realizes just how hard Eliza has fallen for Hamilton. Using that direct echo, showing her devotion to her sister both times, I think for me cuts that undercurrent, although I definitely agree it can be there.
Well, and I think part of it is just a very subtle and even a subconscious idea that not only did you hurt my sister, but if you were going to cheat on my sister, it wasn't
exactly
with me. You're hurting
exactly
me too that way.
That's the thing I think I'm trying to get at, where it's like, I think more of what I want to say is that, like, no one in this play except Eliza is unproblematic. Eliza is a perfect cinnamon roll, and everyone else is tainted in some way. And I think that this is sort of Angelica is made more interesting by this. Like I think David's exactly right in the whole, like, I can't believe you didn't do this with me, because they're would have been some internal emotional gymnastics done to like justify that. And this is unjustifiable. It's like, how could you have possibly had an affair with this woman when we were both literally inviting you to upstate New York for?
We could have kept this all in the family. Right. Nothing needed to be written down.
And that's basically congratulations. Three,
some 1800s. Let's go.
Right.
This restaurant is awful and the portions are so small. I mean, one thing that amuses me about the song is he actually, in writing the song, makes Hamilton a little nicer because, you know, the line, I had frequent meetings with her, most of them at my own house, Mrs. Hamilton, with our children being absent on a visit to her father.
No.
In the real one, it's Mrs. Hamilton with her children.
Right.
It's even more separate.
Well, but I mean, that is also sort of the period, right? I guess.
I think that's a conscious thing that Lynn is doing to make
him Hamilton feel better.
Reprehensible. In the most reprehensible act of his life. So
I will say that even though I went to history grad school, America was not what I studied. So yeah.
In Virginia history, we study two things in excess. And one of those things is the Civil War. And the other is the founding fathers from Virginia and the people that they hated.
Right.
So the picture of Alexander Hamilton I learned for a very long time was of a big, giant, money-grubbing asshole who didn't care about anybody and who did this terrible, like, you couldn't really deny the historical reading of the Reynolds pamphlet. Like, he voluntarily was like, what if I ruined my wife's entire life for no reason? Like, when I remember in AP US history asking Mr. Boyd, we learned about it and I was like, but why did he put this out there? And he was like, I don't know. He's dumb. And this is from a man with a master's in history.
Right.
This is the answer to Jefferson's prayers because, you know, what right, is yes. his refrain? Oh. Never going to be president now, right?
Never going to be president
and they're just,
now.
They're tearing up the pamphlets
as
and
he does it.
Tossing
like
the papers
on that
around
table.
And making a hurricane of paper as Hamilton is just standing there.
Yes, it's a it's perfect so visual representation of the whirlwind that Hamilton has reaped for opening his mouth and doing this, because everybody in the ensemble, they are passing out these pamphlets, spreading them around, and then they start flinging them in the air. And King George comes back in and just gets in, walks across the stage and throws a few and dances around Hamilton for a minute. And then
some audience members end up with some of those pamphlets. I've seen people
they hand them off to Alex in the pit.
If they toss enough, like if they toss them far enough, like my understanding is if you're in like the first three rows, you can snag one.
Yes.
Yeah, and like David just said, Jefferson and Madison make a point of, towards the end, handing one to Alex Lacamoire down in the orchestra pit, who stops conducting long enough to take it. They get everybody in on the act.
Throws his own dam in there. I was always curious in listening to this, though, and again, because we have the people who were there, who we confessed this to back and know what we know. And there, like I said, there's that discordant, there's no harmony when they sing this, you know, nobody has to know sort of thing. And I'm like, who let it leak? I mean, the guy who went after the scandal was a scandal monger. I mean, he was definitely, you know, he would have written for TMZ if he were modern day. And I just like, who let it slip? Like, this is
Alex. Alex let
See,
it.
See, I always thought it was Burr. I mean, Burr was the lawyer who handled their divorce, the Reynolds divorce. I kind of always thought maybe it was Burr. He may have known all along in handling the divorce.
But it was nothing but unsubstantiated rumor back then, because it wasn't in it wasn't in a bunch of papers. It was like a thing, like if you lived around the area, maybe you heard whispers about it. But like, that's 15 people. Like, that's not a lot of people back then. So it's
just like in the congratulations story, you took this tiny little rumor and mm-hmm. that
would have floated off on its own, and you confirmed it.
More arguments that that should not have, they should have kept congratulations in the play. Like, of all of the edits and changes that he's posted of like, oh, this is the previous version of this, the only one where I was like, why didn't you keep, was congratulations.
I agree. Yes.
So if you're listening and you haven't like listened to congrats, like just go ahead and Google congratulations.
Ham for Ham.
Ham for Ham.
Yeah, Ham for Ham. Ham for Ham. And it's so good. Yeah. So good.
I have to imagine that'll be on the Hamilton mixtape too.
Oh, that's right.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It better
I do
be.
Love the echo here that, you know, the never going to be president now sort of refrain, because that is always, that's always the thing that people, like, he didn't have that. Of all the founding fathers who were sort of in that inner circle, like, he never reached that height of political ambition.
Did they have the ban, by the way, sorry to interrupt, did they have the ban on non-foreign or on like foreign born? Like,
not yet, I don't think.
Not yet.
Okay, so that, because that was the thing where I was like, wait, couldn't he have never been president? But I remembered, like, maybe.
Yeah, that wasn't added till later. But, you know, it's funny now when people talk about Alexander Hamilton, who don't know American history, they assume that he was a president. He's on the money. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's shocking sometimes when people are like, oh, you mean Hamilton wasn't a president? So it's kind of interesting.
International fans especially, I think.
Yeah. Because he's just now, like, he's just this looming presence. So I think it's interesting that whole narrative is built in. Like, you have crushed something that would have guaranteed your legacy. And even though we have this sort of public perception of people who are not particularly well-versed in early American history, that, you know, what do you mean he wasn't a president? Why is he on the money? Him and Ben.
I just want to say one more thing, which is this. I love this song so much, and I'm glad it's sort of this last sort of, it's not a happy note, but it's a fun note to go out before I just start crying for the rest of the, you know, the disc, essentially. So even though it's a bummer of a rap song, it's got enough oomph to it that, you know, I keep going back to it just for the dams alone, and then, you know, then you cry the rest of the way.
And you can't help but get caught up in the never gonna be president now, right?
Never gonna be president now.
It's
the swagger of your enemy screwing himself over, and I feel like everyone has experienced that at some point in their life, and it's hard not to, like,
just get into it.
To feel T. Jeff at that point a little bit. Yeah. It's like, I have also celebrated in an enemy's self-sabotage.
Demise,
And just the sassiness of the Greek chorus of dams. You know,
right.
I mean, that is so topical right now. I hope that translates 20 years
then
from
just
now.
Just the final punch of, you ever seen somebody ruin their own life? Like, that's just like this sort of horrible punch to the low, like, to the diaphragm, that was like so unnecessary.
And the only people not singing at that point are Hamilton and Eliza,
right?
Which,
his poor wife.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And next week she is going to burn something.
Oh, we get the Eliza Hamilton lemonade song.
Man.
So, I would like to thank my guests, Allison Baker and Jale Fazilian and Deb Stanish and Shannon Sutterth, and we'll be back next week and hopefully turn off all the fire alarms.